This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. As they used to say in music radio, the hits just keep on coming. And that is also true of North Carolina, as the fallout from the legislature's passage of HB 2, which overturned Charlotte's LGBT ordinance, is slowly being revealed. PayPal decides not to bring 400 jobs to Charlotte. Film studios cancel productions. Connecticut makes overtures to snag Bank of America's corporate headquarters. And yesterday, Charles Barkley said the NBA game should be moved out. The All-Star game should be moved out of Charlotte next year. Charlotte's fire chief is on probation after a leaked memo is linked to him, giving him the second chance that underlings at the department wish they'd received. Governor McCrory is suggesting a 5% pay raise for teachers. CMS calls for school bonds, but the county manager says their timing could not be worse. And although the Tar Heels missed the national championship by 3 points in the final second, the Hornets are headed for the playoffs. Those and other stories in our weekly news roundup. Here with us today, Tom Bullock from WFAE News, along with Jenna Deary, reporter for Channel 9 Eyewitness News. Welcome back.
Hey.
Good to see you. Eric Spanberg is here from the Charlotte Business Journal, where he is senior staff writer, and Eric Frazier, editorial writer for the Charlotte Observer, is also with us in our Spirit Square studio. Welcome to you as well. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's begin with PayPal. They canceled plans to bring 400 jobs here to Charlotte. How big a deal is that?
I think it's a pretty big deal. No one, I guess, sneers at 400 jobs, average pay $50,000 a job. I think this is the one that's really gotten people's attention, because we've gone from saying that people are posturing, and when I say people, I mean CEOs and companies, to you actually have some tangible evidence of someone taking a step because of House Bill 2. Now, from all indications and responses from the supporters of that bill, they're not giving ground. But I think this certainly, if nothing else, turned up the volume on a story that was already running pretty loudly.
But you have to go a little bit deeper into the whole evolution of this thing. You know, you talk to people who are supporters of the bill and also in the political realms, whether that be local or state, and they'll say this move was political. That I spoke to Councilman Kenny Smith this week in regards to this story, and he said, you know, something bad had to happen to Charlotte in order for the political agenda to keep moving. And that political agenda being those who are advocating for LGBT rights, those who are against this bill and have created this really loud opposition to what North Carolina passed. You know, you have to wonder if there was anything going on behind the scenes, as far as you don't want to think that anybody might have wanted to, you know, put Charlotte underground with losing these jobs. But we are in an election year, and a lot of this has been political so far.
Well, let me just mention real quickly, the Republican talking point immediately when this happened was that PayPal does business in Saudi Arabia and China and Cuba and other countries that are more repressive. Now, remember that 2 weeks ago, two, 3 weeks ago, Governor McCrory and other state leaders had not only backed incentives for this same company that they now find to be loathsome in their practices, but they McCrory himself handed the CEO a gift at the press conference. So it's quite a turnabout.
And it begs a really important question. If PayPal really is such an awful company, and in fact, to be clear, all of this dates back to a Wall Street Journal article, which was true, which says that PayPal was they had settled a charge that they had broken sanctions with Iran, with Cuba, with Sudan, and paid the U.S. Treasury $7.7 million. PayPal did not admit fault. $7.7 million is not a huge fine for this kind of thing. But it was just fascinating, because that's a 2015 story. Right. So exactly what Eric and Jenna are talking about is exactly the point. That didn't matter. If you go and actually look, as we said, campaign year, if you look at the campaign fundraising sites for a lot of these Republicans who had passed HB2 and now were proclaiming that PayPal is just the worst company ever, they still have PayPal accounts as a way to get money for their campaigns.
Oh, delicious irony.
It is. But the core irony really just boils down to this. Charlotte's the one that got hurt.
Well, and a lot of times you can follow the money to find out the story.
Right. Yeah.
And
right.
Where the support lies, and it just goes from there.
Well, and the other thing, and people, you know, this is not an unreasonable point to raise. I had people who were critical of PayPal asking me, well, how do you know that PayPal didn't get a better deal to stay where they are? Right now, I don't know.
Well,
this
was never to stay where they were. This is a brand new facility. Right. That argument is kind of
well.
And the other part
maybe they're being offered something somewhere else.
Well, Mecklenburg County Commissioner Bill James tweeted out the minutes of a March 1st meeting revealing that the incentives package that North Carolina had offered PayPal was more than Tampa had offered, but less than Chandler, Arizona was putting up. PayPal would have been eligible for $2.9 million in state and local tax incentives. I'm not sure the point he was trying to make, but he mentioned shareholders being up. PayPal shareholders should be upset, perhaps.
Well,
what was the purpose of leaking the minutes, tweeting out the minutes?
I think his point was that, and, you know, I feel like I'm on risky ground trying to speak for Bill James, but I think what he was trying to say was that PayPal wasn't, you know, it's a Wall Street company that's right. supposed to be doing what's best for its shareholders. And I guess his point was that PayPal perhaps wasn't acting in the best interest of its shareholders, and that maybe, I don't know, maybe he was trying to, gin up some trouble, in New York for PayPal on Wall Street.
But for PayPal, when you're talking the difference between a few million dollars, I mean, this is a company with a market capitalization north of $40 billion.
Right.
Dollars.
Yeah. Yeah.
A few million dollars is a lot of money, but in the general scheme of PayPal's economic world,
walking around
it's pocket change. So, you know, I don't think that's really going to be a major hit. I mean, I spoke to the CEO the day that they made the announcement, and for him, I mean, for PayPal, if you want to talk about something for their shareholders, the key thing really was just, we need the best and brightest. And if we don't have the best and brightest, if we can't recruit them wherever we're doing business, physically doing business, then it's going to hurt us as a company. And that was a big part of what he wanted to say.
Yeah, he said that they're also not – what HB2 was not in sync with PayPal's corporate values.
Frankly, we were surprised that that the governor would push a bill that basically discriminates against people for their – sexual orientation or their gender identity. And we have very deep set values at PayPal within our employee base that value inclusion. If we want to attract the very best employees to PayPal, we need to be a company that embraces equality, that embraces inclusion, because that's our mission in the world, to democratize financial services. And so having a state come out against that was simply not tenable with our basic values as a company.
PayPal CEO Dan Schulman. Franklin Graham has called PayPal a hypocrite for canceling their move here, quoting Representative Robert Pittenger, who said that the company does business in 25 countries where homosexual behavior is illegal. So does he have a point?
No. I mean, the fact of the matter is, yes, they do business in those countries. He's absolutely right on that fact. But again, when I spoke with PayPal's CEO, Dan Schulman, he said, you know, this is not about doing business. Having our services available in other places,
right, it's different than having a
different
location
than having a
where you have
physical place
and
where
recruiting.
You exist. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a bit of a red herring argument. And what's fascinating to me, though, is let's go back to the whole Cuba thing. I mean, the rapid email that came out from the North Carolina GOP was fascinating because, again, they listed all of these bad places this horrible company, you know, does business. And they're right. But A, they knew that ahead of time. And B,
not only knew it, but endorsed
and lured the company. Yeah. But it seemed a bit disingenuous how quickly they went on the attack because this company decided to take a different stance. I mean, I printed out this morning because it's one of my favorite things that I've seen so far in terms of this backlash, this strange backlash and personal attack basically on a corporation, if you can have that. And it's from Dan Forrest, who's North Carolina's lieutenant governor. And he writes, I saw this picture on at PayPal website. This would be illegal under Charlotte ordinance. And it's basically a shot of an employee, a female employee, sitting on a big couch, working on a computer, and behind her is a men's room with a sign showing men. And it just to me, it's like that never was outlawed. That's not my opinion. That's a fact.
Right.
And it just seems, again, to be this huge hit trying to go after, well, you know, if they disagree with us, we're just going to go personal on
the attack.
So
I guess with the Cuba thing, that means Mick Jagger's in peril now too?
Well, but the ironic thing there too is they, you know, Governor McCrory called out New York Governor Cuomo for having a delegation go to Cuba.
Yeah.
A North Carolina state delegation with the Agricultural Commission, I believe, went to Cuba – a couple months later.
Yeah.
So it just
plus we've paid millions in terms of state taxpayer incentive, taxpayer funded incentive money to companies like Siemens that does business in these same countries. You know, and this is taxpayer dollars
and
going
would have paid to pay
these other companies.
So we talked last week about posturing about these companies. There have been 130 companies or something like that that have come out and said, "Well, we're not going to do business with Charlotte or North Carolina because of this bill." And people are saying, "Well, maybe that's just getting on the right side of an issue in terms of your memoranda that comes out of your PR department, but you'll still do business and you'll still come here." Will PayPal's decision not to come here influence other companies?
That is the big question, because I mean, I had the same question after the whole Atlanta trying to lure the NBA All-Star game. Does that then dangle the carrot to the NBA to say, we have a backup? Because, you know, even just talking to our sports guys and talking to the CRVA, you know, they had mentioned this is unheard of in the convention and visitors bureau world where, you know, these kinds of events take years in order to lock them down, millions of dollars. We have nearly $30 million being pumped into the arena now just to get ready for that game. So the question was then, so can Atlanta really handle just bringing on this game in less than a year? That's when it's scheduled to be played. And our sports guys were saying, well, you know what? A city like Charlotte probably couldn't handle to just get ready for that. But a city like Atlanta probably
no problem.
Could. Yeah. So does that carrot then potentially lure them away? Does it do the same thing with other businesses after PayPal?
Well, even as, you know, it's kind of silly, the offer from Connecticut that you mentioned. I mean, I don't
and
think.
And Montana.
Right, right. Yeah. Bozeman is the banking financial center of the world.
No offense, Montana. There's no question about that.
It's good for Lonesome Dove. But as ridiculous as that may be, you will see the recruiting game certainly getting ugly with, hey, look, North Carolina, you see the stain on that state.
It's blood in the water.
Absolutely it is. The other thing I was going to mention, though, is while we're talking about PayPal, I think it's almost equally as important to talk about Red Ventures, because that's a homegrown company that has clearly been growing jobs year after year after year. They go across the state line. Then they say they will add jobs in North Carolina. And their CEO sent the letter to Governor McCrory this week saying, I don't know if I can add jobs in North Carolina because of what you're doing.
Yeah, I think the PayPal thing is really a huge sort of red line that I think the state really needs to be careful with, because most of the most important and the most interesting and the most where the rubber hits the road right now in terms of where this whole thing is going, these conversations are happening behind closed doors right now between companies and the corporate recruiters that they work with when they're trying to figure out where to go. And we don't even know if we're being crossed off lists right now, and we won't even know that we were ever even on a list.
Well, you'll never know, and you can't prove a negative.
Right. That's exactly the point. And to the Eric's overall point here, and I did refer to you both in the plural, you know, it is the theoretical exercise that has very realistic outcomes. Both sides will say yes or no, this had a direct economic impact. But history can be a bit of a guide. So let's go back to last year. You remember Indiana's all the furor over the Religious Freedom Restoration Act? Well, we had an almost identical bill introduced into the General Assembly at that same time, which seemed on a fast track to get passed. Indiana has this huge backlash. North Carolina tables its bill because it was also at the time in the running for a couple of car companies. We've been trying to get that forever. It is the great, you know, whale of economic development for North Carolina. The question now is that the kind of thing that can hurt it?
That's Tom Bullock from WFAE News. He's here with Eric Frazier and Eric Spanberg and Jenna Deary, and we are coming right back. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Opera Carolina performing a Charlotte premiere, the double bill of Rachmaninoff's Aleko with Pagliacci, on Sunday and the 14th and 16th. Information at 704-372-1000 or at operacarolina.com. When Michael Tarwater arrived at Charlotte Memorial Hospital 35 years ago, it was a relatively small facility. But like its logo, that tree, from those roots a massive tree has grown. And today, Carolina's healthcare system includes impressive branches like the Levine Cancer Institute and the Levine Children's Hospital. That growth occurred during Michael Tarwater's 14 years as CEO, and he's now retiring from that position. But before he does, he will join us to reflect and to look toward the future of healthcare in Charlotte and the region on this program, Monday at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, the Friday News Roundup. After big upsets in Wisconsin, presidential candidates turn toward New York. President Obama heads to Chicago to stump for his Supreme Court nominee, and reaction to Mississippi's religious freedom law.
The Friday News Roundup continues at 10 on The Diane Rehm Show. You're on 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Docs on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. It's the weekly local news roundup on Charlotte Talks with Tom Bullock from WFAE News, Jenna Deary from Channel 9, Eyewitness News, Eric Frazier, editorial writer for the Charlotte Observer, and Eric Spanberg, senior staff writer for the Charlotte Business Journal. Governor McCrory, as we were just talking off the air, has been left to twist in the wind over this HB2 issue, and he came out earlier this week and made a statement about this in which he sounded angry and critical, and was talking along the lines, I think, of what Franklin Graham and Robert Pittenger were talking about with their regard to PayPal. Here's what he had to say.
I anticipate PayPal will still provide their services and accept our consumer money in the state of North Carolina, as they also accept consumer money in nations throughout the world that, frankly, have disagreements with some of the policies that they're disagreeing with in North Carolina.
And again, PayPal CEO pointed to his company's need for inclusion for its employees.
One of our biggest regrets is that we will not have the opportunity to be a part of the Charlotte community. But being an employee in North Carolina, where members of our team will not have equal rights under the law, just wasn't acceptable to us. We spent a lot of time in Charlotte. We greatly admire what they were trying to go do. We will still stand with members of Charlotte in fighting and trying to appeal and repeal HB2. So we're not going to abandon the community, but we cannot open a center in a state that does not embrace equal rights for all citizens.
So you spoke, Tom, with PayPal CEO Dan Schulman. Is he open to coming here if somehow HBO gets reversed or gets altered in some way?
I asked him that question directly, and his answer was absolutely. You know, basically he laid out a timeline, and it's a timeline that makes sense from the perspective of PayPal. We have said we are not doing this facility here. We've already done a national search, so we're going to look for a new site. We've already got a lot of data, a lot of offers, so it's not going to take that long. He said probably, you know, a couple months before they decide, you know, they announce a new site. If for some reason HB2 is overturned, is, you know, basically if the lawmakers decide, okay, we're going to drastically amend this bill or we're just going to repeal it outright, he said they would come right back to Charlotte. And that's—
Is there a timeline on that? They have to make a move, one would think, at some point, make a decision.
You're talking about PayPal?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he said that they're undergoing their process. They're not waiting. So basically, if for some reason—
If they had a second and third choice, would it just be easy to pick the second or third choice?
Yeah, and he said that's why he said it's not going to take very long. You know, I think what they'll want to do is not just quickly pull the trigger, go back, and if you take Charlotte out, it does change the equation for the second and third place, you know, finishers. So they're assessing that, and then they'll sign a lease, and if for some reason something changes, they would just hop right back to Charlotte. But the second he said that, you know, we hire our first employee, we sign that lease, then it doesn't matter.
I wanted to go back to you started with the governor. And
yeah, I want to go back to that too.
Yeah. So last week, the governor released that video statement where he, in essence, called for calm, but also blamed the media and Democrats for making this an overblown issue. But I asked several Republican lawmakers, including Dan Bishop, who was the lead sponsor of HB2, whether they were open to changes and also what they think McCrory wanted. And they just said, absolutely not. We don't see any need to adjust this bill, to tweak this bill. We think that we have gotten it exactly the way we wanted to. So, you know, now things change. Pressure creates all kinds of circumstances. But right now, Republican leadership is standing pretty firm on this is what we wanted.
And I actually spoke with Representative Paul Stamm, who's a Republican in Wake County, and he's one of the co-sponsors of this bill. And there's a key reason that this is not registering. I mean, it's a big deal in Charlotte. It's a loss of prestige. It may have longer-term effects. But that's Charlotte. Here's what he had to say.
Charlotte presumably will be hurt by this, not the rest of the state. Charlotte's the ones who did the policy that PayPal says they liked. So they're punishing their friends.
That just makes me so angry to hear someone in that position say that it hurts Charlotte, not the rest of the state. What hurts Charlotte hurts
one
the rest
biggest
of the state.
Yeah,
we are a third of the state's
Well, isn't that indicative of how they have always felt about Mecklenburg County and Charlotte in Raleigh?
Short-sighted.
Well, and the problem with that statement, if no matter how you feel about it, is it doesn't just hurt Charlotte, because obviously Raleigh, all the major metropolitan areas are going to feel this to some extent, because they're all trying to recruit these similar types of employers and jobs. So it's just Charlotte.
And in the economic recruitment game, your brand does matter. And North Carolina's brand has been badly damaged by this nationally. And I just, you know, it's just so short-sighted that I just can't believe that, you know, they're not going to find some sort of way out of this. But like you say, Eric, they, you know, you don't see much sign from Republican leaders.
Not only do you not see a sign, Eric, what I heard this week from Brucho and Bishop and other Republicans I spoke to was a defiance that couched it in this way, which is, hey, look, we told Mayor Jennifer Roberts and the city council in December and January, when she was talking about this, not to bring it up, that this will cause you grief, and that they are basically reaping what they've sown. And so when I asked Jennifer Roberts about that, of course, she has a different opinion, and she calls it blaming the victim. So however you feel about this, the two sides are not moving any closer together.
And that was part of the statement that they put out after PayPal decided to cancel its expansion in Charlotte, was pointing it back to the city and saying, hey, if you hadn't even gone down this road and put your hand in something that you shouldn't have, then we wouldn't be in this mess. Now, they'll also, you know, the city will also say that this was something that was important. We needed it for our own economic engine, you know, and then to go back and say that it's the city. I mean, it just continues with this power struggle between Raleigh and Charlotte. And those Republicans will also say the reason why they put it in place was to redefine to make clear that Charlotte went beyond what it was allowed to do in getting involved in a social issue.
What's interesting to me about all of this, if you take which side you're on, and put that aside for a moment, it's the personal level of attack.
Yes,
and this is a level of vitriol that I have not seen in my time.
And I think Charlotte's taking it personally, no matter what side of the argument you're on.
Yeah, this is basically the culmination of a 5-year war, mm-hmm. is what it is,
yeah.
Because Charlotte and Raleigh have not gotten along on anything. And the other thing that comes up, and I'm sure y'all are hearing this too when you talk to anyone, is the airport immediately surfaces, the business tax revenue not being replaced, every issue that has bubbled up between the state and the city. And the other thing I heard from a lot of Republicans, because I asked this question, okay, so you go back into session April 25th, how do you bring things back for your constituents? And they said it's going to be very, very difficult, because this is another mark, in essence, against Charlotte.
Is this also part and parcel of the problem? I mean, with the governor, they really have let Pat McCrory twist the wind on this. And part of this may be his own political frailty, or I don't know. But he's a former Charlotte mayor. They don't like Charlotte. They've never liked Charlotte. He's a symbol of Charlotte. He's a symbol of progressive Republicanism.
I think he used to be a symbol.
To them, he is. And as you talk to the Red Ventures CEO, Rick Elias, he has switched his support to Roy Cooper in the gubernatorial race.
Yeah. I think it's very interesting.
Does the legislator want Pat McCrory gone?
I don't think they're that active in it, Mike, but I don't think they care
as much as you would
expect anywhere else. I mean, one of the things that happened after all of this was, you know, a key political watcher at the University of Virginia changed the race for governor from Leans Republican to toss-up. This is Larry Sabato. He's very well known, and he tends to be pretty accurate. You know, this to me just seems, for the legislature, who has fought with Governor McCrory. There were two times they overrode a veto of his last session. There's the whole NC Connect bond, which I still think is a great name for a bond that was all about roads. But when the Senate stripped all the roads out, it became kind of a silly name for a bond. That was, again, Republicans going after something McCrory had a big stake in. I don't think they care.
But I almost wonder if this all goes—
I think for them, I'm sorry, Jenna, but just to finish my point, I think they would – they're just fine. It doesn't matter to them whether they're overriding the veto of Pat McCrory or if they're overriding the veto of Roy Cooper. In fact, it may be easier if the governor is a Democrat because then they can fall back on partisanship.
I almost wonder if McCrory's frailty goes back to the whole airport issue long time ago because the state saw maybe this is a place for us to gain control, take some money in. Then Charlotte kind of felt like, hey, you don't have our back in this. This is our airport. Maybe he lost some ground there with Charlotte voters and feeling like there was some sort of betrayal. And then you go down the road and you have teacher pay and then you have toll roads. And, you know, and then maybe they saw the writing on the wall politically that aligning themselves with McCrory may be something dangerous.
I think Governor McCrory, if he had just stayed true to who he had been as the Charlotte mayor, I think he would be in a much better position today right now. He'd be fighting tooth and nail with Phil Berger, the Senate leader, but at least he would be fighting on his own terms instead of just trying – basically letting the Senate – tail wag the dog, and he's just trying to kind of minimize the damage they do.
He says he loves to say that he steps on toes on the left and the right, and I think what he does is he careens between being the moderate progressive Republican and the conservative Republican that's in power. And the other thing you can't forget with McCrory is that he and Tom Tillis were close political allies, and now Senator Tillis, that's a big difference, that he doesn't have Tom Tillis there. And so now he has an even – not that he doesn't get along with Speaker Moore, but it's just not the same relationship, and I think that has made it more difficult.
Who is a Mecklenburg County guy?
You definitely don't get the sense that him and Phil Berger are going to
lunch every day. Absolutely not.
So let me bring this back to PayPal for just a second, then we're going to move on. Because some letters to the editor this week in The Observer have criticized PayPal for hurting Charlotte, given that the city was trying to do something that is in line with their corporate policy. We didn't make this decision. Raleigh made this decision. Why hurt Charlotte? And Alex emails, if PayPal and other businesses that oppose the NC law are really concerned about possible discrimination, why don't they set up their offices in Charlotte and North Carolina and provide the kind of work environment they feel is missing? There was nothing in that law that said you couldn't do that. Why abandon the very people they appear to be siding with? Why?
That's actually an interesting point. But I think for a company like PayPal, and it goes back to what Tom was saying about his interview with the CEO there, they feel like they're planting a flag and saying what their company's values are and what they stand for. And
it's a much bigger statement. It resonates.
Yeah, it's way bigger. And I think what has been interesting about all this has been to see where social conservatives within the GOP have been parting ways with kind of the establishment pro-business. Mm-hmm. It's just really been ironic and kind of weird and surreal to see pro-business, usually pro-business Republican conservatives, basically hammering and getting hammered by the same company that they just threw all these millions of dollars at. Taxpayer incentives.
You mentioned the conversations that might be going on in boardrooms around the country about whether they should even consider Charlotte as a location, and we'll never know when we've been crossed off that list. But you reported yesterday that the county commission met on Tuesday to approve local incentives for another company planning to expand in Charlotte, Republic Services from Phoenix. They talked about grants for three additional companies, which raises the question, really, how much business are we going to lose? They're talking about bringing companies here and giving them incentives.
Let's not forget this. Look at the timeline of PayPal. It's an absolute fair point that you bring up, Mike, and it is one of these things. That's why I said it was a theoretical exercise in terms of are we really losing stuff. PayPal's announcement that it was coming to Charlotte took place on March 18th. Mm-hmm. 5 days later, that's when the special session happened. That's how quickly these things can turn. So what would be more interesting to watch, and I'm sure that both sides on this argument will, is okay, they've got these incentive packages for these companies. Do they all go all the way through to completion? Because PayPal had the incentives. They had the agreement. They pulled the plug.
The Charlotte Chamber made its first public statement. Took them a while.
Took a long while.
About HB2 this week. Yes. They came out against it, saying that Charlotte is the economic engine of the state, that they believe diversity is a competitive advantage for the city's economy, that the Chamber opposes discrimination in any form, that the bill puts our positive image at risk, and that we need to work together toward a solution. Will a statement like that have any impact in Raleigh.
No, I don't think we're going to hug it out suddenly because they finally put out a statement.
And I think that what you're seeing right there, Mike, with the chamber, is they're sweating bullets because they know they have to work with this legislature and this governor, and they also know that this is deeply troubling and damaging with a lot of their membership. And so how do you try and navigate your way through it? That's probably why it took them 10 days to come up
on the editorial page.
Boilerplate.
I read somebody say something along the lines of that the Republicans are shooting themselves in the foot and they'll be under the ground dead under a tombstone and won't even know it before it's all over.
Well,
I'm paraphrasing liberally there, but that's what it's saying.
I think there is. Yeah, that is pretty liberal.
Well, we always knew, didn't we?
Yeah, we always knew it.
We knew.
Thank you. Thank you, Eric.
But I do think there is something to that. I mean, the Republican brand has always been we're the party that will look out for business and free enterprise and all that. And for them to be fighting tooth and nail with an ascendant, you know, one of America's corporate business success stories, one of the glamour
and
kids
that,
of the tech industry.
It was a prestige get.
Yeah.
That's why the governor was here.
Yeah, right. And you have to – I really feel bad, really, for the guys at the chamber because you know a lot of work went into landing PayPal in Charlotte, and all that work just went out the door.
And think about this. You know, this is a minor point, but significant, I think. Ned Curran, local real estate executive, who was appointed by Pat McCrory to head the State Board of Transportation Board, he is the chairman this year, the honorary chairman of the Charlotte Chamber. So just think about the meeting. You're trying to have this conversation. I mean, this is, you know.
It's a tough one.
You start sweating in a hurry. Yeah.
Which is why we heard from the chamber after PayPal came out, because everything that I've heard is they didn't want to have this discussion around business and, you know, what it would mean after HB2 and economic development out in the public. They wanted to talk about this behind closed doors because they didn't want that rhetoric out there. They didn't want inflammatory language making matters worse. And so now that they've got one that have said, we're out, now they feel like, I guess, they can come out
something. Although these should not be considered equally, I think PayPal was going to have, a $20 million annual payroll. If this thing with the All-Star game happens, I think you'll see people do some serious freaking out because, you know, even though it's just a basketball weekend, it's the prestige and the attention.
It surprised you that Charles Barkley said that the game ought to be moved. Charles Barkley said it yesterday.
Well, Charles likes to offer an opinion. No, I can't say that surprised
Williams.
Me.
I mean,
all right, we have 1 minute left in this segment, and I don't want to drag this out much longer. But the list of companies that have been published of the companies that are against this and the companies that are for this bill is the difference. The contrast is striking.
I'm sure.
All the big companies are on the list that are against it. Small ma and pa companies are for this bill. What does that tell us?
The big companies are thinking nationally. The small companies are thinking locally. And nationally, the movement is towards pro-friendly, pro-LGBT-friendly policies.
Well, and, you know, I will add very quickly, Senator Ruccio from Charlotte mentioned to me that he thinks that the bigger companies can absorb the cost of compliance, and that the smaller companies are more pragmatic because they have to be. So
that's Eric Spanberg, senior staff writer for the Charlotte Business Journal, with Eric Frazier from The Observer, Jenna Deary from Channel 9, Eyewitness News, and WFAE's Tom Bullock. It's the Weekly News Roundup. We're coming right back. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and AC Entertainment, presenting Rhiannon Giddens in concert Sunday. Tickets available now at Blumenthal Performing Arts Box Office, 704-372-1000, or online at carolinatix.org. After big upsets in Wisconsin, presidential candidates look to the New York primary. President Obama returns to Chicago to stump for the Supreme Court nominee, his Supreme Court nominee, and reaction to Mississippi's new religious freedom law. Just some of the stories they'll be talking about with a panel of journalists coming up in 20 minutes at 10 o'clock on Diane Reams. National News Hour, the International Hour, follows at 11 o'clock. And we will continue wrapping up this week's local news in just a few seconds. Stay with us.
I'm Cokie Roberts, and I am not a car person. So when I see Steve Inskeep and Ray Magliazzi talking hybrid transmissions at the water cooler, I duck into the nearest studio. Sorry, guys, it's true. But one car conversation I don't mind having is how your car can be turned into the programs you love. Donate your car to this station and get a tax break, too. Now, that's a conversation starter.
Get details at WFAE.org/cars.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins, the weekly news roundup with Tom Bullock, Jenna Deary, Eric Frazier, and Eric Spanberg. Before we move on to other topics, let me just share with you two emails that have come in or Facebook comments that have come in while we've been talking. Dan emails, I argue that the legislature made a major social mistake. However, a guest editorial in the Hickory paper said the legislature knew exactly what they were doing, stirring up their base in order to win the governor's race in the fall. Coincidentally, the letters to the editor all supported HB 2 based on religious and conservative beliefs. Looks like their strategy is working. A comment on our website, these jobs we won't be having and the ones that we will lose in Charlotte also pay taxes into state coffers that fund things that people want or need in other cities and counties throughout the state. Charlotte's economic engine funds the representative districts that voted to lose our jobs. Okay, well, we'll keep following this story because the hits will keep on coming, as they used to say in music radio. And speaking of hits, smoke from a distant fire.
Oh!
I had to work that in. We now know that Charlotte Fire Chief John Hannon was responsible for leaking a memo from an employee's personnel file to a reporter. He said he thought that it was out in the open already and that it was okay to do, but it's a misdemeanor under North Carolina law. But the city council has given him a reprieve, or as the Observer editorial board calls it, a second chance. He's on 3 months probation, and a letter has been put in his personnel file, his permanent record, reprimanding him. So, but your editorial, Eric,
it has not been leaked.
Your editorial indicates that the employees under Chief Hannon would also have appreciated a second.
Sure. I mean,
what is this all about? What's
you
going
had,
on?
You had those incidents, two cases in which employees made rather impolitic Facebook posts and were summarily, you know,
dismissed.
Well, mm-hmm. One was one resigned under pressure. I think you would be the more accurate way to put it, Deputy Chief Doolin. What was the
we had the whistleblower case.
Crystal Escher.
Right.
Yeah, she was fired. And so you had these cases where people also made mistakes, just as Fire Chief Hannon said he made mistakes.
And those didn't break a law.
Well, and there's that.
Posting something about Ferguson on your Facebook page was not breaking the law.
Yeah.
And remember, there was the whole question about whether that was actually backlash for her complaints about the
new building.
The new building,
And what really gets to the heart of this, and I find really fascinating, was that report that came out after the investigation of Crystal Escher's firing for the, you know, whether the Facebook – let's skip the whole Facebook post. The whole argument there is very detailed and would take a while to explain. But the key thing is that report found what they called a culture of fear in the fire department of retaliation by high-level chief and deputy chief people if you spoke out against them.
Which we all saw the memo come out after the vice president of the fire union email on behalf of a council member a letter that she says she wrote calling for the fire chief's termination.
Yep.
Or resignation.
And suddenly the fire chief leaks a personnel memo. Now, whether or not it was in the public ether, whether or not you believe it's out there, he still has not denied. In fact, he said he did give that memo to a reporter as the chief of a major metropolitan fire department. Pretty sure you should never, even if it's been published, just point him to the site.
So as we're talking about all of this, people might ask, so why did he just get a slap on the hand? Well, it may go back to money. We had people on council who were not completely in favor of getting rid of him, maybe just slapping him on the hand, cutting his pay, whatever the case may be. But we have a city manager who is on his way out, and he gets a $25,000 bonus if he makes it to the end of June. And some might argue that if there was any kind of further action when you just went through a change in command at the police department, now you have a search going on for a city manager, then to lose a fire chief may not sit very well. That bonus may be coming into question of whether or not he would get it if he got rid of the fire chief.
Let's talk about that for a second, because you mentioned the culture of fear. And that's
and those
a phrase,
were my words.
Okay, but that's a phrase that came up when Heath Morrison disappeared from the scene as a CMS school board, chair, of superintendent of schools, that he had established a culture of fear. Is this something that's going on throughout Charlotte, or is this something that we use to describe people that we don't like because we don't like what they're doing and they're our boss, so it's a culture of fear?
Well, look, with Heath Morrison, there were certainly people who were willing to say that they didn't think he treated them fairly. And so it's hard to say that people are entirely making this up. As you say, the police chief – I'm sorry, the fire chief – granted that he did take this action, and that certainly can be interpreted as a form of intimidation when you're leaking documents to reporters. So I think there's some validity to this.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't want to make a blanket statement about any organization, but I'm just saying in those cases that we're talking about.
No, and it really just boils down to, again, the two key players. You have the fire chief and you have the head of the fire union who has been critical of that chief.
Mm-hmm.
That is not coincidental. It is absolutely key to this whole thing, and it does beg a question of retaliation.
Okay.
Who has hired the same attorney as Crystal Eschert, the fire investigator, who's also probably going to be suing the city for civil penalties.
Mm-hmm. I was born in a small town. I'm sorry. I just want to keep the hits going.
maybe you haven't heard, but Pat McCrory is running for re-election. Breaking news. And in the midst of all the PayPal news, he made what I think is a surprising announcement this week. He's proposing an average pay raise of 5% for teachers next year. Where did that come from?
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah, and it was so sad for him when he made the announcement. All the reporters wanted to talk about PayPal, and he kind of retreated into the school office to get away from them.
It was the same day. When PayPal made the announcement, I called the governor's office to ask for an interview. Not surprisingly, as you haven't heard him say a whole lot, but away from press conferences, he did not say yes. But they were like, hey, you're calling today. Oh, it's about PayPal. Yes, major announcement for the governor. If it wasn't for PayPal, it would have led the news. Instead, it was definitely pushed farther down.
Just want you to know that we've been trying to get the governor on this program for quite some time. He used to be a willing guest, and all of a sudden,
he's kind of busy.
but what's interesting is when he made that announcement at his childhood high school,
right?
What was fascinating was who was not there, and that is any state legislator of any flavor, of
and
either
that
flavor.
Tells you when we were talking earlier about the rift within the Republican power structure,
yeah.
Right there.
Yeah,
this is big money. I mean, you're talking what is it, $245 or $260 million for the raises, plus another $165 million for bonuses.
Yeah. Well, it's nice that he's saying that, and he's saying what some would consider the right thing in terms of trying to help teachers make up the ground that they've lost. But it really all comes down to, well, what's Phil Berger going to say about this?
He's going to say no.
And that's
the raise would put average teacher pay at more than $50,000. That's up from $48,000, but still lower than the national average of $57,000. The governor says his budget would also include a proposed bonus of 3.5% for teachers and principals, and teachers with more than 24 years of service would get $5,000. Now, is that an effort to mollify the experienced teachers who are really
Absolutely.
Ticked off that the raises
Absolutely.
Went to beginning teachers?
Absolutely it is. You know, and look, I guess, you know, you can look at it as, hey, anything for teachers at this point is good, so who would turn it away? But I do think there is a lot of political calculation here. Nothing wrong with that. That's the way the game
is
played.
Yeah, exactly. But
there's one thing wrong with it, which you mentioned, Mike, which is, what's Phil Berger have to say?
Well, and it's not just Phil Berger. In the past, you brought up Tom Tillis. When he was Speaker of the House, you know, we started seeing these teacher pay raises, and you always saw the House offering up more than the Senate.
Yes.
Well, this time, it's not Phil Berger who has come out and said, that sounds like a whole lot. It's Speaker Tim Moore who said, would really like raises. That sounds fantastic. But instead of the 5%, how about
2%?
Yeah. North Carolina is 47th out of 50 for teacher pay. Is it politically a good thing to say no?
Is that teacher pay or is that per pupil spending in classroom?
Well, I know that it's in the 40s for both. Let's just say that.
Right.
The question was, is it politically good to say no? I don't.
During an election year. A lot of teachers out there.
Well, remember what Tom just said, though. Speaker Moore isn't saying no. Yeah. He's saying less.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where this will head is we believe in education and teachers, but we also believe in keeping the state physically healthy, and we don't want to raise this and that.
And in fairness to that argument.
They set it up really I think this is sort of a two-year kind of orchestration when it comes to the teacher pay issue. Last year, they were stingy, and they only gave the beginning teachers right. the money, and everybody else had to make do with this $750 one-time bonus, which most teachers just saw as a slap in the face and an insult. But they were doing that, I think, specifically because they knew that that would leave them more sort of, you know, wiggle room in the election year to come back and give something a little more generous, maybe not as much as what teachers would want, but still they could say, hey, we gave you a 2% raise
Speaking of education and money, the school board is enthusiastically asking the county commission for an $805 million bond plan. One of the school board members wanted it to be a lot more in the billion-dollar range to build new schools and upgrade existing ones. How likely is the commission to approve putting that on the November ballot?
About as likely as Governor McCrory getting what he wants with those.
Because county managers,
they're even wanting to change the funding structure, right. So yeah. It's going to be a tough struggle.
County Manager Dina DiIorio says it makes no sense to rush through what would be a record-breaking school bond when CMS has yet to tap most of the $290 million approved in 2013.
That right there is a devastating quote. That's a devastating quote.
But are we comparing apples and apples here? Because bonds are kind of a sticky wicket.
It doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter where
no one will hear it.
Yeah, because instead of thinking about the apples in the apple cart, what DiIorio is saying is you haven't filled up the apple cart yet. You know, if you've still got
– But is that money, that $290 million, is that money for the same thing that this new bond issue would be for, or is it for different things?
Oh, yeah. No, it's different.
It's different.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. You can't spend that bond money on buildings and new schools. You have to spend it on what the bonds were voted for. Right. So is that apples and apples? Is that fair?
I feel like I'm at Trader Joe's and I'm lost.
Let me suggest the coffee ice cream at Trader Joe's is the best.
No, to answer your question, it is not fair in terms of if you're looking at this from a strict financial book list. However, that's not the point. This is about politics, not necessarily fairness. So if you still have money, and the fact that she's already coming out to say that.
That's all people will hear is, wait a minute, you haven't spent what we gave you already. Right. Why am I going to consider this, and particularly when it's coming at us quickly, and when we have superintendent search and student assignment out there.
And the school board's response is basically that back when they did that bond that they haven't finished spending all of the allotted capital on, they went really small at the same time that Wake County went $800 million. They went, you know, much, much smaller, and the needs never went away, and they're still out there, and we got to do something. But like
and
you
by
guys
the way,
are saying,
it's not
nobody's going to hear
it's
it.
It's not unprecedented that you're still spending down bond money as you're preparing for another campaign.
That's how it works.
But again, I don't think anybody it's like talking about HB2. The only thing anyone hears is bathroom, and your whole opinion tends to be based on how you feel in that one segment of it.
All right, sports. Because all roads to Rio lead through the Whitewater Center. The road to the Rio Olympics gets wet in Charlotte. 40 of the nation's top canoe, kayak, slalom racers are competing.
The water's safer here, by the way.
That's right. This weekend, do these tryouts draw big crowds? Is this an economic
thing? Expecting like 10,000 people.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's a big deal. And more importantly, it is also a prestige thing. You have people David Borax had a great story on this morning that's online if people want to hear it now that talk about how people are coming to Charlotte. Athletes are coming to relocating here because of the Whitewater
Center.
That's
true.
And it is in fact important. I mean, it's the Whitewater Center is a cool place, and they've got the financial problems behind them. So it seems really like this is
when someone writes off your mortgage, it makes life a lot easier.
That's exactly right.
I'm told the interest in and the ratings for the NCAA final game, the big national championship, were lower than they've ever been, or lower than they usually are, because of the two teams involved. Neither of them have great national interest, I'm told. I don't know anything about sports, but that's okay.
I think Tar Heel Nation may disagree with you on that.
I did watch the last few minutes of the game, and
I cannot
remember a more spectacular ending to a game ever.
I can, but this one's better. You bet. And
1983?
I'm not a North Carolina or Duke fan, but to me, that last second shot really harkens back to when Grant Hill, a young Grant Hill, tossed the ball into Christian Laettner's hands,
and
Duke beat Michigan with that incredible shot. This shot was as
Kentucky.
Good.
Yes.
So, and now the Hornets are rumored to be going to the playoffs.
Yeah. Lucky there.
They're sitting here while you guys talk.
What?
I said, I'll just sit here while you guys talk. Maybe I should get some water, some fresh coffee or
but
something.
I'll move over to your side of the table. All right.
I'm in the corner, just hanging out. So
the quick answer is this is a very good development for a team that has obviously struggled for a long time since the NBA came back in 2004. The combination of the new name and being back in the playoffs, I think, is going to continue to help them business-wise, which they have needed that help.
Yeah.
Now, because the newspaper business has fallen on slow times, let's won't call them hard times. When this program is
thank
over,
you.
When this program
we
is
need
over,
all the help we can get.
We're done in a minute and 15 seconds. We're all going to come over to the Observer and help you guys move. Today's moving day.
Yes, it is. We're
is that good
we're,
news, bad news. Is there a tear in
news.
Your eye?
That's good news. It's kind of bittersweet.
Are the escalators working to help you down?
Some of them are. the one at the bottom floor has been out of commission for about 3 years, and yeah, that's still not working.
I actually think you're asking the wrong question, because in fairness, you guys are moving to one of what you know what used to be the Chiquita Land.
That's right.
The good news is you'll be that much closer to go cover all the fandom at the NASCAR Hall of Fame.
And you know we're
true.
In the same building, so
yeah.
Good luck.
We'll say hey in the halls.
That's right.
we'll move the station there. And we'll just do this program right there.
Sounds great.
From the NASCAR Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame needs traffic.
Yes, they do. Eric Spanberg, senior staff writer with the Charlotte Observer. Eric Frazier, who's moving today. Well, good luck with that.
Thanks.
With the Charlotte Observer, Jenna Deary, reporter for Channel 9, Eyewitness News, and Tom Bullock from WFAE News. Thank you all for the hour. Always fun. Next week, come back and talk about cell towers at Piper Glen.
Okay.